Genesis chapter 25 before I read chapter 12 of Hebrews. If you found Genesis chapter 25, say amen. Verse 32, just back up to verse 31. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. And thus Esau despised his birthright. Verse 30, and Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. Verse 32, "And what profit shall this birthright do me?" I'm reading it backwards. The first clause said, "And Esau said, Behold, I'm at the point to die." I'm not going to preach this title because I've got something else to say. But what you sell today, you're going to have to look to sell something tomorrow to eat. But I want to ask you, when you ain't got nothing else to sell, Esau, what you gonna do? When you ain't got nothing else to sell, what are you gonna sell then? Every pure girl in this building, your purity is at stake. But when you sell it, what are you going to do? When you sell it to satisfy your flesh, what are you going to sell next to make it happy? Sin's never satisfied. Hebrews chapter 12. Very familiar text. "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." I was broken in my heart when the Lord spoke this to me. I want to preach for the next little while on when the feeling is gone. I want to preach on when the feeling is gone. You stretch your hands this way and ask the Lord to help me. Father, I approach this pulpit with a humble heart before you. I'm asking you to help me, to touch me and anoint me. Oh, Holy Ghost. your fire burn in my words that I speak. The enlightening of the Holy Ghost be upon me, and let the Spirit of God use me. I pray for conviction to fall on these altars. And I ask God that the will of the Lord be done in this service in a special way. And I'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm preaching this morning. I really don't know. I don't even know if I'm going to go at it full force, if I'm going to just stand flat-footed behind this pulpit and take my time and deal with it. I'm preaching this morning on when the feeling is gone. I don't reckon there is no more horrible place in all the world to live than is to live to know that you can't pray and God hear you pray. I'd just as soon be strung out on a desert somewhere, hanging over the edge of a cliff, gone far from this world, drifted in a country where no man knew my language but me, as to be out of fellowship with God. For when this feeling's gone, there's no stirring to want to pray. There is no stirring that wants to have a move of God. It's a satisfaction of what you sold your soul for. There is a danger, sir, in always being on the auction block, willing to sell. Life is equipped with so many tools. There's things that has been given unto mankind that man himself must deal with and must come in acquaintance with and must guard and protect through life, that he himself may present himself a whole vessel dedicated unto God when the Lord shall come. The tools that are given unto us are precious tools. There's tools of prayer, tools of worship, tools of dedication, tools of submission, tools of things that God has put in the chest of our life to teach us how to keep up the maintenance of the spiritual man. There's things that God has given unto every human being in this building. It is such thing as a voice to say hallelujah with. There is hands that God has given unto mankind that he can raise his hand and he can say hallelujah when his voice is gone by the surrendering of his hand. For the Bible teaches us and tells us that we may lift up our heart with our hands. He's also given us feet that we may carry out the will of God. But there has never been anything outside of the hand, outside of the ear, outside of the eye, outside of the tongue, outside of the feet that God desires any more than he wants the heart of a man. When a man sells his heart to travel into wickedness and sin, there has never been a more selling that is so deeply sold than it is when a man sells his heart, when a man gives up his soul over to the working and the will of the devil. There has never been a worser trade in all the world than when God gives a man the opportunity that he may possess heaven and take heaven. He then in turn sells heaven for one pleasure of this world. There's not been one highlight of sin who out of the writ of God's word and throughout of the present day experience that's in our country today, there is not one individual that you know and that I know or that we have read about in this Bible who has looked at sin and said, sin is my partner. Sin protects me. Sin covers me. Sin takes care of me. I'll tell you, sir, what sin does. It rips, it tears, it divides.
It kills, it destroys, it does away with God while it damns your soul even the more into hell. I'm telling you, there is a danger of you always being willing to sell, of you always being willing to give yourself over to the hand of the devil. God, help us to realize that there is an hour that's fallen upon us, that if we don't dedicate ourselves, if we don't give ourselves to God, we shall fall in the same pursuit as Esau fell. When we get to the point that temptation's so great, we look at our soul and we say, what good is this soul? It ain't doing me no good. And we sell it out for 15 minutes of pleasure. We sell it out for another drink, for another bit of fun, for another bit of sin. What good is it? It's no good. But mister, when it's gone, it is gone. Years ago, I remember reading a story in a book called The Dying Testimonies of the Saved and the Unsaved. The story was told that this young girl had gave up her life. And in giving her life, she was in meeting one night when the Spirit of God, you hear me, was dealing with hearts and dealing with souls. She shunned the repentance. She turned the voice of God off. She said, not tonight. Not right now. Not now. I won't do it. I tell you, sir, when there is a personal prompting of the Holy Ghost and you heed not that convicting power of the Spirit of God, there's been times that I have prayed, and while in my praying, I have felt the Spirit of God deal with me. No, it wasn't no preacher preaching. No, it wasn't in no revival. It wasn't in no camp meeting. It was just a simple fact that I had slipped into the presence of God and the light of God was on me and it showed me something in my life. I want to tell you, sir, you never partook of the evil that you are associated with until you snapped out the light and walked tirelessly in your own direction. When you go away from God and you walk in the wickedness, you did something, you forfeit your soul. You throw away the opportunity of being dedicated, of being consecrated to God. Listen to me, sir. Sin's no joking matter. The Bible said fools make light of sin. They mock sin. They laugh at it as though there's no consequence unto sin. Hear me. This young girl, to make a long story short, this young girl had heard the gospel preached. And in the hearing of the gospel, she turned it away and said, no, not tonight. It wasn't long. Somewhere the next day, somewhere through that next day, she then in turn took down with a headache. She called her mother. And she said, mother, she said, oh, would you please come and get me that I'm sick? They said they took her home. And when they got her home, Brother Stanley, they laid her in the bed and they called the family doctor. That's back when the doctor made house calls. They came over to the house. And how he knew it, I do not know. But he walked up to the bedside and done his assessment on the patient. And when he got done, he turned and looked at the family out in the hallway and he said, mama, daddy, he said, if there's got any anything you need to say, you better say it now. He said, you better say it now, for it'll not be long that you'll be time up and departing from this life. Are you hearing me, sir? They said the story went on to tell that she pleaded for God to deal with her soul. Her mama said, pray, baby. And she said, I can't pray. They ain't no more feeling to pray. I told God no. I told God I wasn't coming. I want to tell you, sir, there is a place where you can reject the Holy Ghost so long until God says it is enough. Oh, Lord. Help me, Lord. I know it's strange. I felt so burdened about preaching today. I left this church, it was 3:10. I went home. The last time I looked at that clock, it was 4:32 in the morning. I'm worried about somebody crossing over a line that they should not cross over. It's a strange atmosphere. It almost seems as though it's out of place. But your feet are swiftly running in the wrong direction. And you're about to be lost forever. I'm worried about it. I really am. That's why I'm preaching to you. When it's gone, it's gone. It's gone. Take the ringing out of it, brother. I'm telling you, sir, when that girl looked at her mother and she said to her mother, she said, bring the coffin. And they brought the coffin and laid it beside her bed. She leaned over too much. Are you hearing me? She leaned over and she took a hold of the handles of the coffin and she looked over and cried and rubbed the handles of the coffin and she screamed and said, oh, brother, feel it. I would be tired. I could feel it again. I would. I could hear the Holy Ghost say, don't do it. Don't go there. Don't say it. Leave it out of my heart. Leave it alone. Get away from it. You're going to override the Holy Ghost. Why too many times? I got a hold of you. I'm talking to you. All the way to the cash register. You heard that feeling inside of you saying, don't buy it. Don't buy it. Don't buy it. Leave it alone. Put it back. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. Don't buy it. You heard it all the way to the cash register. Don't do it. You better not do it. It's going to take you down. It's going to make you worse than what you already are. You're drifting far enough. I'm telling you, sir, when it's gone, you're going to wish a million wives I could get it back. Hear me this day, saith God. For I say unto thee, I know the traveling of thy soul, and I see the wickedness that you're involved in. Hide not from me, for when thou hidest, you deceive your own heart. For I see through your darkness. For I say unto thee, give unto me your heart, and I shall give unto you life everlasting. But hold your own heart, and hold your own will. And I shall give unto thee damnation, saith the Lord. Oh, did you hear me? Did you listen to me? I ain't done preaching. The Holy Ghost ain't done preaching just because He spoke. You look at me. They called for that coffin. She laid there on the edge of that bed. I need a young girl that don't mind acting to help me. Cindy, come here. Hear me. I feel like preaching. You don't think that feeling's worth anything right now, but you're going to want it back. You're going to want it back. Sit in that chair. I just want to use this piano as a coffin. Just kind of want you to rest your hand right here and just kind of rub. I want you to say every so often, oh, for the feeling. Loud enough that we could hear it. They said that girl laid in that bed and she told her mama, she said, "Mama, will you please bring that coffin? Bring that coffin." She said, "Maybe there'll be a feeling in that coffin. Maybe there'll be a feeling in that coffin." She laid there and stroked that coffin. And all she could say was, "Oh, for the feeling. Oh, that I can feel it again. Oh, that I can have it one more time." They then in turn said, "No feeling." The mama asked the girl, said, "Baby." She said, "No feeling, mama. No feeling." And she then turned and she asked for them to bring the shroud. Bring the flowers, brother. Hear me. She then in turn, somebody grab the flowers. And she then in turn and she said, "Mama, bring the flowers. Bring the flowers." They brought the flowers. And just stand there with them right here. They brought the flowers. And she laid there and she stroked the flowers. And she said, "Oh, for the feeling. I want to God I can feel it again." I'm telling somebody in this house, there'll come a day with what you're feeling right now that you're saying no to, that you're saying it's not me. You're going to wish one day, "I'd have repented, I'd have come clean with God, I'd have told God I'm sorry, I got wrong, it's my fault." A little louder, will you?
Oh, God, if I could just feel it one more time. Oh, God.
You know what's saying in hell? Somebody said, "Preacher, what's going on in hell?" You know what they're saying in hell?
Oh, one more time. Let me feel it just one more time, please, God.
I'd obeyed what I felt. I'd have turned it off when the Holy Ghost said, "Turn it off." It's impossible, sir, for you to have the Holy Ghost and allow sin to creep in your heart and it stay there. It cannot. I said it cannot. For the Bible said, "Can a man take fire in his own bosom and his clothes not be burned?" The effects of sin, they may not tell on you now, but they'll tell on you later. I would to God I can feel it. I would to God I can pray. I would to God I'd say yes and repent and get right with God. You can take them back. What the flower couldn't do, what the coffin couldn't produce, you hear me? I'm losing you. They said that mom and daddy went star and barn crazy when that girl took her last breath. And just before she died, mama said, "Pray." And she said, "Mama, I can't pray." She said, "For I told him no then, and he's telling me no now." How important is it that I answer the call? How important is it that I say yes to conviction? It's your eternity you're gambling with. It's your soul you're playing with. It's that moment that you're saying it'll always be there. It'll never leave me. I looked in the boys' class today. I had to make Corbin go out and get his Bible. Jared didn't have his. Andrew had his, but it was closed. I looked around and only a couple of them had it open. I said, God, knowing what I've got to preach this morning, I said, these boys think it's going to be there forever. It doesn't matter what they do. It's going to be there forever. There's going to come a day, sir. Look at me, young boy. I know you're too big to hear it. There's going to come a day you're going to want to burn that attire that looks like the world, dresses like the world. There's going to come a day you're going to say, Mama, I don't want to wear them breeches. I don't want to dress like that. There's going to come a day they're not going to ask the question on how much I can get away with. But you're going to say, God, I'll give it up. I'll give it up, I promise. I'll give it up. I'll stay to my sink of my heart. I'll stay away from it. I'm telling you, sir, when it's gone, it's gone. Preacher, how do I know it's gone? You may not even know it's gone. You hear me? You may not even know it's gone. You say, preacher, that ain't no truth. Oh yeah. He got up from there. And the Bible said he got up. And when he walked out, I don't think for 1 minute Esau ever really got a hold that he didn't have it no more. He was so caught up with the dinner, like you're so caught up with sin. You're going to want to hear me say that one day. Yes, sir. Some of you got video games and your mamas are falling down on your job of praying. You hear me? Your children's got video games. It's got cussing in it. Where's the Holy Ghost that guards that house? Children's got games that when they pop up on them games, them Atari games, I'm probably using the wrong word, ain't I? Maybe Atari was years ago. That's back when I remember it coming out. I don't know what they got out now. But there was a time when you'd have said that naked woman in that bathing suit fixing to flag that car, you'd have said, you can't have that here. But because you went to sleep, your child's lost. There was a time, I'm going to lose you. Say, preacher, you lost your mind. There's going to come a time, Daddy, when you're going to say, God, I'd have never bought cartoons for my children to watch to babysit them. I'd have gave them a storybook about the Bible. I'd have gave them something about God. I wouldn't have gave them the cartoons of this world. But you know why they did it? Because when you lost it, you saw no need to be afraid of sin. You saw no need to cry out. Sin didn't bother you no more. It didn't affect you like it used to. That's why your grandparents, that's why your parents looked at you and say, what's wrong with cartoons? You tell me what's right with them and I'll tell you what's wrong with them. Are you hearing me in this house? You can't sin and get by. You're going to wish one day I'll never slip back into the cesspool. Help me, Lord. I'm hurrying to close. Do you hear me? You hear me? Don't you listen to me well? Years ago, everybody remembers the march from Andersonville all the way to the coast.
Mr. Sherman. You hear me? Everybody remembers that. But there was something in a story I read some time ago that stuck with me and ain't never left me. I jotted it back down this morning. I won't tell it to you before I hurry to a close. They said years ago, when Sherman went to set from Atlanta to Augusta, I believe it was Savannah, when he set the fire and burned everything within that whole vicinity, all the way to the water coast, they said he implored unto men to come fight with him. They said that the Andersonville State Prison was so full of men, and he demanded so much from men to fight in the army. It said that the story went on to tell. It said there were very few men that was left to guard the camp. And for fear that the prisoners might escape and get out of the prison, they said they then drawed a line inside the camp of that prison and said that if any man gets near that line without any hesitation, he is to be shot. For it's in his heart, if he is intending to get near that line, he is to be shot because he wants to escape. And the story went on to tell. It said then from that day to this, it has been noted to be called the deadline. It's a deadline. Where did the line come from? It came out of the state of wickedness. Mister, can I tell you? I believe with everything I have in me that there is a deadline in every man's life. I believe there's a place where God's got an X-master spot. You'll either get saved and repent of your sin before you reach that line, or you're to be lost forever. There is a place marked in your life, sir. You're going to get totally right with God. Or when you reach that line, you're going to be lost forever. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, you know what's bothering me? I'll tell you what's bothering me. I'll tell you what's bothering me. This one thing's bothering me is how close are you to the deadline? How close are you to that spot? How close are you to that place where you're willing to sell your soul? Had a family. You hear me? I ain't gonna lie to you. It ain't in my heart to lie to you. Had a family. Left our church. Got mad at me. Went to a church not far from here. You know it. I called their boy out one morning, standing right there. I said, God saw where you've been. He saw the secret room. He saw the closed door. Daddy, you're a fool. And you know your children's got a problem with lust. And you got the internet in your house. You are a fool. You're a fool. You said it, my God. I've got the Holy Ghost just in. You said it. This is my house. I can have what I want in it. But I'm here to tell you, when you bury your children in sin, don't say nothing. I don't know how many years went by. I suffered the scrutiny, pain of being called a liar. You hear me? I endured it. I prayed many a day, God, you know, I said what you told me to say, and that's all. You hear me? Just listen to me well. I wept.
when they walked off and left, I knew. You hear me? I knew it wasn't the will of God. What can you say to men that are willing to run? You can't say nothing but bye. You can't stop them. Did you hear me? God spoke to me in my prayer. He told me, He said, there'll be a day of vindication. You stay true. Phone call 2 or 3 years later. Come, son, I'm going to talk to you. A young boy. I've never really felt like telling it till I feel like telling it right now. He sat down in my office. He said, I lied on you. The day you told me that this was going on in my life. He said, I told my mom and daddy you lied. That wasn't happening to me. He said, but I'm trying to preach now. And he said, I can't get anointed until I come back and tell you I'm sorry for lying on you. And this is what he told me. He said, not only did I lie. He said, but I went to my mom and my daddy. And I told them I lied on you. And he said, they won't even believe me now. He said, I don't know what to do. I said, leave it alone, son. I said, make peace with God. You ain't got to make peace with me. The truth is stand, sir. I'm here to talk to you because I'm a troubled preacher this morning. You're going to cross a deadline at a young age. Right there in your area, Brother Jeff, I was preaching a meeting, preaching about like I'm a preacher right now. How old are you, Ryan? 18. 17-year-old boy stood right there where Cody's standing. Late and Long by name. You Alabama children remember him, don't you? I looked at him and told him, I said, Leighton, I said, God said, if you don't get right with God, you're not going to live out your days using that meeting. He fell against that wall and he wept and he cried. But he didn't weep hard enough to get sin out of his heart. Did you hear me? Hear me, please. I want to see you get saved to where you go home and box it up and take it back to the store. I want to see you get saved till you go box up them old worldly CDs and burn them. I want to see you get saved to the place where you look back at all that you bought while your soul was in rebellion and you say, I don't want this. I want heaven more than I want all of this. Hallelujah. 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 I'd like to see you get saved enough, young lady, where you go home and start pulling blouses out of the dresser drawer and taking them and saying, God, you know you convicted me about wearing this, but I kept it anyways. But I'm giving my heart to you now more than ever before, and I'm saying, I want the feeling. I don't want to wait too late and beg for a feeling later. I want to get rid of it now. Hallelujah. Gotta quit. Don't you stand with me? And I plead with you in this building. To no one going out. Just give me just a minute. But you hear me. The Holy Ghost bear my heart record. I preach to you the best I know how. I'd like to see you get saved, young man. To where the question is, not what can I get away with, but what can I give up? What can I give up that I may have more of Him?
You know why you got to ask the question? You know why you got to ask the question, who told? Because there's guilt in your life. But would the Holy Ghost pull up to that window? Huh? Would the Holy Ghost stick His hand out of that truck? At games and playing. And you use that little television in that motel room as a prank gig. Turn it on and walk out and leave it on somewhere where you ain't supposed to leave it on at. The eye of the Lord. Ain't nothing wrong with a convenience store. You hear me? I do not question the Holy Ghost. You listen to me. Somebody better hear me in this building. You say, preacher, I need help. I was trying to give you help this morning. Ain't nothing wrong with a convenience store. But Brother Mickey, I don't never question the Holy Ghost. I went to pull in one store, and I've had the Spirit of God deal with me. Don't go to that one. Go to the one next to it. Why avoid that one? It's the same store as the other store. They that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. You hear me? Much I feel in my soul, I'll never be able to preach. But it looks to me like the most scared place in all the world should be. God, don't let me find the end of your mercy. Don't let me find the end of your love. Don't let me find that place where when I pray, you don't listen. Well, let me find that place to where I harbor so much thoughts of sin inside my heart. And I have dreams of wickedness until it gets out of control. Until it disturbs a burning passion inside of me. Purify my heart. My mind, oh God. Don't let me find the end of your mercy. How long will you live in rebellion? How long will you live there? That's what the Holy Ghost had just spoke to some of you last week. How long are you going to stay in your condition? That's what you felt God whisper to your heart. How long are you going to stay there? How much longer must the Holy Ghost reach and pull before you surrender and say yes? I'll have bread and water and have the Spirit of God than I had anything else. Just give me the touch of God. Don't talk to Bethel. Don't talk to you.